before we start the new series, a word of apology. And I'm not apologizing to the people who regularly attend our service who showed up at the wrong time today, because you got an email or two or three and a text, and we announced it multiple Sundays. So if you're a regular attender, I'm not apologizing to you. Apologizing to guests. We did last week and this week, we had some guests show up at 9:30. Thank you so much to those who came back and gave us a second chance. And preemptively apologize to the guests who are going to show up in about 5 minutes for the 11 o'clock service. We are not going to stare at them when they come in, all right? We're not going to stare at them. We're going to let them take their seat. Starting a new series today called I Wonder. We all wonder about things, or at least we did. Like when you were a kid, wonder was just a part of your life. Because we didn't have a lot of life experience as kids. We didn't know a lot of answers, and so we ask a lot of questions. We're always wondering. That's why kids always ask why, until it drives us crazy. They're wondering. They don't know. They want to find out. They want to learn more. When we become adults, though, something happens, and we don't wonder as much, or at least we don't wonder out loud. We don't tell people that we're wondering, and maybe because we think wonder is a negative thing. I mean, the implication of wonder is I don't know the answer. I'm trying to find the answer. I'm trying to discover an answer. Wonder often leads to discovery and creativity and insights. But you have to be willing to say, look, I don't know. I'm wondering about this. I'm confused about this. I don't have all of the answers. And the older we get, the less comfortable we are with that. But you should never stop wondering. You should never stop asking questions about complicated issues or topics that you don't understand. I follow on social media an account that posts sayings from Mr. Rogers, because who among us doesn't need to know more of what Mr. Rogers had to say? And so I get these posts frequently, and it'll be a quote from Mr. Rogers and what he said when he was alive. Yesterday, the quote was, wondering and marveling is never a waste of time. Wondering and marveling is never a waste of time to live. I think we sang about it. To live in this sense of wonder. May I never lose the wonder, God, of who you are and what you've done and what you're going to do. So in this series, which admittedly should be much longer than 3 weeks, and maybe we'll come back and we'll wonder some more at another time, we're going to take up three topics over the next 3 weeks of I Wonder. Today, we're going to talk about I Wonder What Heaven's Like. Next week, if you come back, we're going to talk about I Wonder Why I'm Here. What is my purpose here? Why am I here? And then in week three, we're gonna take up the topic, I wonder if the world is about to end. Okay, just very light, summery, summer light topic. Didn't want to get too deep in the summer. We're in vacation mode. And so just some light topics over the next couple of weeks. I wonder what heaven is like. Now, here's something about wonder. To wonder is to consider what might be and what we haven't thought of before. That's what wonder is. I don't know. Let me think about that. What do you think? What do they think? What do other people think? In this series, there may be some things that I say that, I don't know, conflict, or maybe you haven't heard before. Maybe you didn't grow up hearing. Maybe the church you grew up in didn't say that sort of thing. Or maybe they just never talked about these topics very often. And what I want you to do is just live with it for a little bit, okay? Just sit with it. Like, don't get mad at me. Don't argue. Let's just sit with it for a little bit and see where we end up. Because wondering is this, hey, there are some things, and I'll say this again. I'm setting all this up for week three, actually, and I'll say all this again in week three. There are some things the Bible's not crystal clear about, and we can wonder together, and we can pull from God's word, and we can say, well, we know this, and we know this, and it might be this, and it might be this other thing. We're going to do some of that, and especially when we get to week three, some of that may sound very new to you or different from what you grew up hearing. We'll all be friends at the end of this, I promise. We're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary after all of that. So come back for that. I wonder what heaven's like. Can't cover it all today, but let's get a good running start. The primary characteristic of heaven, the main thing about heaven, the most important thing about heaven is the presence of God. God is there. God, whatever else is there, whatever else it looks like, whatever else you get or I get or I don't get, or whether it's exactly the way I picture it in my head or not the primary thing. The primary thing is not my accomplishments or how I got there even. The primary essence of heaven is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are present. They are there. They are fully there. We don't each get our own heaven. We're like, you get your little place, and I get my little place, and you get that little place over there. You know, heaven is all of us being in the presence of God and being fully aware that we are in the presence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the creator of all things, the all-powerful, all-knowing one. We will be fully in his presence. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to end up at the end of Revelation. If you want to hang out there, I'm going to give us some verses before we get there. But Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah is allowed to see into heaven. He doesn't tell us that at first. He just says, Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Right? He doesn't say, I saw heaven. He did see heaven. That's where he saw the Lord. He did see into heaven. He tells us a little bit about heaven later. But first thing he says was, well, you know what I saw when I got there? First thing, God's there. I saw the Lord. That's where my attention was drawn. He was the center of everything. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then he describes, I saw this around the throne, and they were singing this, and this activity was taking place. But the first thing he wants us to know is, what I saw is I saw God. I was fully in his presence. Revelation 22. This is verse 3. And we're going to bounce between Revelation 22 and 21 if you want to follow along in your copy of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Heaven is God's presence with God's people. God fully known, being fully experienced by his people. This is the defining quality of heaven. Whether it has streets of gold or not, whether everybody gets a mansion or not, no matter what we do with crowns, all of that is secondary, tertiary, not even important, because the central feature of heaven is to be with our God. In Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23, John writes, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Chapter 22, verse 5, he uses the same metaphor. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. John's point is, this is how pervasive the presence of God is in heaven. It's like light. It gets in everything. It illuminates it. The presence of God is everywhere, in the way that light in this room is everywhere. He's dwelling all over. In all of heaven is the presence of God. Does he literally mean there'll be no more night? I don't know. I hope not. I kind of like night. I like stars and planets. Love to sleep. Love me a good nap. Like, I'm pro night from that sense. What John is saying is, like, God's presence everywhere. Everywhere. The psalmist prayed, like, wherever I go, I can't escape your presence. And John says, you don't know what that's really like till you get to heaven. And God is just everywhere. Like, light is everywhere. God is everywhere. Isaiah in the Old Testament, John in the New Testament makes it clear, God is the central focus of heaven. Central focus of heaven. Not me, not my obedience, not my accomplishment, not even heaven itself. God is the central focus. And if God is everywhere in heaven, then who God is everywhere in heaven. His characteristics are everywhere. That heaven is infused with the love of God and the peace of God and the righteousness and holiness of God, the justice of God. Heaven is infiltrated. It is infused with those characteristics, complete provision, because that's who God is. He's provider, complete provision everywhere in heaven. Creativity, beauty, every characteristic of God is in heaven everywhere all the time and is our central focus when we get to heaven. As a result, the response to that, the response to God's presence will be worship. It will be. Like Isaiah has this vision, sees God and falls down. This is our response to the greatness of God when we fully experience it everywhere is going to be worship. Now, I don't mean that heaven all of eternity is one big church service. All right? Some of you are like, not sure I'm signing up for that. I get it. Look, I get it. It's my job. I get it. I do get it. But I think what John would tell us is, like, your heart is just going to be inspired by God everywhere you go in heaven. Like, gratitude for God, you're going to have no problem with that. It's going to be constant in your life. Your affections are just going to grow more and more for the things of God because you're going to see His presence, His love, His beauty, His greatness everywhere you look. Now, we struggle with that here. That's part of what we sang this morning. We struggle with that because there's just so much other stuff here. There's other stuff that pulls our attention and our affection away from the Lord. That interrupts our heart towards worship, right? Stuff that's not that great, stuff that's not God, that's not presence of God. You're going to get to heaven, there's not going to be that stuff. There's not going to be anything to interrupt you knowing how great and awesome God is. This has happened to you before. It may happen today. You come to a worship service and you step into the worship and the music and your heart is encouraged. It's just like on fire for God. You begin to sing those lyrics of worship to Him and your heart is full and God speaks to you from His Word. And like you have a moment in a worship service like this one. You have an hour where you're just with God and you leave here in a better mental place, spiritual place, emotional place than when you came in. Like God does something in you and you leave and before you get home, you've argued with your wife, you've argued with your kids. You got an email from work about that thing that you forgot about that you got to turn in before tomorrow. The client that's mad at you that you've got to call back. And like, you get pulled right out of it, don't you? Like that thing that God was doing in you, it kind of disappears. I get it. We got stuff here. We got stuff to manage. Here, John's saying, look, you're going to get to heaven. That stuff's not going to be there. Like, there's not going to be anything that's going to interrupt you recognizing the glory of God, the beauty of God, the power of God. It's not going to be there. We read just a minute ago that there's not a temple there. There's not like a place you go and like, okay, this is where we go have the worship service. John says, that's not there because everywhere you look is going to cause your heart to respond in worship. Everywhere you look, you're not going to need a place. You're not going to need me to tell you that you should do this. Zach's incredible. You're not going to need Zach and the worship band to lead you to worship. Your heart, it's just going to be there. Because His beauty and His glory and His power is always in front of us forever and ever. Nothing ever pulling us away from being with God and worshiping God. And what about us? What are we going to be like? A couple things about us. Again, not exhaustive. We will have physical bodies. We will be physical when we get to heaven. I know that movies, TV shows, even sometimes in our minds, we picture heaven as this kind of clouds, ethereal. We're all playing harps. We've got wings, that sort of thing. You're not going to know how to play the harp if you don't already know how to play the harp when you get to heaven. It's like, everybody doesn't get a harp in heaven. You're not going to have wings. You're not going to be an angel. Your loved one that's in heaven, they're not angels. Okay, you're going to be you. You're going to have a physical body. Jesus' resurrected body is often given as kind of a prototype. Like, this is what the resurrected body is going to be like. And Jesus, his body could be touched. He told people, touch me. The women at the tomb grabbed him around the legs. His body was physical. It could be touched. He described his body as flesh and bone. Like, I have flesh and bones. He ate in his resurrected body, in his resurrected form. He ate, digested. Again, shout out. We're going to eat, right? I love that. I love that. We're going to get to eat. We're going to get to eat in heaven. There's a physical experience. We have a physical body. John, this is Revelation 7:9. He's looking into heaven. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. In other words, people had physical characteristics, right? John could see different ethnic groups, different people groups, different races, could hear different languages. There were physical characteristics to the people that he saw in heaven. You and I, we're not going to be ghosts, right? We're not going to be able to see through us. It's not that sort of thing. You're going to have a recognizable, but a permanent body, a whole body that doesn't get tired, doesn't pull a hamstring, doesn't get migraines, right? You don't feel the lower back like I do, like if working in the yard all day and you're going to have a permanent, whole body that's never going to break down. It's never going to get tired. You're just going to keep living in the presence of God. You're going to recognize one another. We're going to embrace one another. That's what heaven is going to be like. That's sort of the physical side. From the intellectual side, let's call it that. From the intellectual side, we'll have clarity, the Bible says. We'll have a physical body, but intellectually, we'll have clarity. There are things we just don't know in this life. We just don't know. We guess, we wonder, we consider. There are things in this life that confuse us. We don't know why they happen. We don't think they should have happened. There are pieces we can't put together. Like, God, why did this have to happen? And why did this happen then? And why did this happen to them? We are full of questions in this imperfect world. We are full of, I don't know, and I won't ever know. There's not an answer. We're told when we get to the next world, you're not going to have all of that. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, Now, while we're living here, for now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, only part of it. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, I don't know everything. I know in part, I know some things. God gave me a brain, I can use it. I know some things. Then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. That's not to say we shouldn't pursue answers in this life. Sure, pursue every answer that you can get to. But no, in this life, our minds are limited in what we can get clarity on, what we can know for certain. In heaven, not going to be that way. You're going to know because you're going to be fully known. Is God going to answer all of your trivia questions? I don't know. I don't know about that. So what you need to know, you're going to know. We're going to look back on this life and all of the things we could not figure out, God's going to help us figure it out. Oh, this happened. I didn't see that part. I didn't know you were doing this. I see now what the ending is. I see where the story was going. We're told you're going to have that kind of clarity when you get to heaven. Next, and one of the most important parts of heaven. In heaven, all is restored, brokenness is undone, and what is sad becomes untrue. Thank you, Sam, from Lord of the Rings, for that last phrase. I appreciate Tolkien putting that phrase in Sam's mouth. All that's sad is going to come untrue. Lewis's way of saying it was that the creation was going to begin to work backwards. It's going to begin to work, it's going to fold over on itself so that all of the wrong and all of the brokenness was going to disappear. It was going to be remade. It was going to be reborn. There's going to be newness. All of the things that weigh us down, all of the things that burden us, all of the things that have hurt us, there was this promise that in the next life, all of those are going to be undone. And goodness is going to fill every empty spot. And hope and truth and light and love is going to be ours forever and ever. Revelation 22 again. This is just the first three verses. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Maybe you recognize some of the imagery. When we get to Revelation chapter 22, the Bible's come full circle. The Bible kind of folds in on itself. Because if you remember from Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we're told there's a river in Genesis. There's a river. Beside the river, there's a tree of life, and the tree of life has fruit. And that tree and that fruit became the avenue through which mankind would disobey God. Humans would reject their Creator, would sin against God. There's a river. There's a tree. Through this tree and the choice of humans, a curse would come. Fast forward to the next life. John uses that same imagery. He says, saw a river, saw a tree, it had fruit. But this time, the tree was not a means to a curse. The leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nation. It's for the restoration of all that's broken. He even specifically says there's not going to be a curse there. There's a river and a tree, but this is not second verse same as the first. We're not replaying Genesis 1, 2, and 3 again. That's all been wiped out. There is a new river. There is a new tree. There is a tree of life, of healing for the nations, and there's not a curse anymore. All that has been broken, all that has been harmful, all that has been destructive, is going to be made whole. It's going to be made right. He covers some specifics of this in the previous chapter, Revelation 21:4. John says, God, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's all going to be gone. Hurt and brokenness and wounds and trauma and difficulties and loss. It's going to be gone because in heaven, all is made new. All is made right. All is made good. Even, John tells us, heaven and earth are going to be made new. Beginning of chapter 21, John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. John says what we're currently experiencing is going to be completely made new. Even heaven, apparently. Right now, if you have loved ones who have passed away in the Lord, they are in heaven. They're not asleep. They're not in a coma. They're conscious. They are in heaven, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing. But John says, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day. And we, apparently, are going to come back to a new remade earth, a new perfect earth, an earth where the curse has been driven out, where evil has been driven out. It's been made new. Big word, big fancy word. Use this on your friends this week. Repristinate is the word sometimes we use. But we don't ever use that word, do we? There are people who use this word, repristinate. Return to a pristine state. Make perfect. God's coming back. And God is going to make all things, including the universe itself, is going to be new and whole and perfect. On that day, it will be an earth that doesn't have ifs, ands, and buts in it. Here's what I mean. No ifs, ands, and buts. You have seen beautiful places on the earth. God did that. Like his creative power put some pretty awesome things on the earth. And yet some of you have already been on vacation. Some of you going on vacation. Some of you going on another vacation. Yeah, that's awesome. You're going to go on vacation. You're going to go somewhere that looks really nice, somewhere you love. You're going to sit at a nice beach. You're going to be in the mountains. And you're going to enjoy this moment. But you know what our thought, a little bit of our thought is when we're there? Man, this is beautiful, but I got to go back to work. Oh, this beach is gorgeous, but I got a really hard conversation I got to have with somebody when I get back home. And it's just beautiful sitting here, but I know there are places in the world that are torn apart by war right now. I know there are people being harmed all over the world in different places. I know people have lost homes. I know there's people mourning. This is beautiful, and I love it, right? But I know there's all of these other things that are happening in our world. When we get to heaven, no ifs, ands, and buts. And we will sit in the beauty, the power, the glory of God, and we won't have to say, but I know something bad's going to happen. But I know it's my time. Life's been too good. I'm going to have something bad. We won't have to say but. We won't have to say and. We won't have to feel guilty. I'm enjoying all of this. And I know in this part of the world, there's people that are afraid of for their life. There won't be that. There's that now. We're not in a perfect world now. Right now, it's beauty, but. Thank you, God, but. This is great, but. Heaven is going to be a place where everything's remade. Everything's new. And you and I are going to get invited into that newness. If you remember back in Genesis, when God creates the garden, he gives some responsibility to his creation. Hey, take care of this place. Take care of this place. That was before the fall. That was before they sinned. So we're going to have this new world full of the presence of God, the beauty of God. And chances are God's going to say, hey, you got some things to do. Let me give you some responsibility. Be a part of this beautiful new place. Again, Jesus' resurrected body. The first Easter, Jesus rises from the dead. And John's gospel tells us when the other disciples got there and they went into the tomb, they found the linen clothes in one place, and they found the face cloth folded in another place. Apparently, the first thing Jesus does in his resurrected body is laundry. Which I know that's disappointing to some of you because you're like, heaven doesn't need to have laundry. I don't know if it's going to have laundry. Jesus, with his hands, he's interacting in his resurrected body. He's not, okay, I'm raised now. I don't have anything to do. Those 40 days, what does he do in his resurrected body? He comforts people. He works on a relationship that had kind of gone sideways, gives somebody a fresh start, offers forgiveness like a new start. This is resurrected Jesus. You and I, in our resurrection bodies, there's not going to be anything to fix. There's not going to be anything broken. We're going to be a part of what God wants to do for all of eternity. And that leads me to kind of my last charge that I want to give you. Here's kind of the last warning I want to give you. Our focus when it comes to heaven should not just be getting there. Our focus should also be bringing heaven here. A lot of times we talk about heaven as, man, I just want to go. Can we just go? Can we just get there? It's like an escape clause. I want to get out of all the hurt. I want to get out of all the pain. I just want to go. Understand, heaven's going to be incredible. I know why we want to go. We do want to go. But until we get there, our role is, can we get glimpses of heaven here? Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done here. Not someday, not eventually when we all get to heaven. Father, your will, what you want to happen, let earth look like heaven. And so as believers, we can kind of sit around and wait. Okay, I'm saved. I'm a Christ follower. One day I'm going to go. That's not what he's called us to do. He's called us to be a part of bringing heaven right here. That there would be little windows, there would be little glimpses of heaven. Every time you comfort somebody, every time you wipe away a tear, you're there for somebody. I don't mean you know what to say. Most of us don't know what to say in those moments. The moments that you are there for somebody, wiping away tears, comforting, being near, that's heaven peeking in and saying, hey, it's going to be like this forever one day. No more tears. Every time you sit in the beauty of creation and you don't think about work next week, and you don't think about all your problems, and you're just in the presence of God, that's heaven. Just peeking through. That's God saying, hey, we're going to do this forever one day. We're going to do this forever. We sang in one of the songs, God, make us more aware of your presence. God, make us more aware of your presence. You know what that is? It's heaven peeking through. Because what is heaven? It's the presence of God. And whenever I can appreciate, be in the presence of God, without getting pulled away by stuff, we got to handle stuff. I get it. I get all that. But when I push that aside and I'm just with the Lord, that's heaven. You on the shoulder, peeking through. Whenever you take some step somewhere to break the curse that's in somebody else's life, to step into a brokenness that somebody else feels in their life, maybe more than the brokenness in your life, and you step into that and you help heal some of that, you help restore some of that, you help be there for that person, that's heaven peeking in. When a child doesn't have a family and somebody says, we can be your family, that's heaven. That's the reversal of the curse. That's new river, new tree of life, leaves that heal the nations. You welcome a stranger, and you love them as Jesus would love them. That's heaven. Peeking through. But we're not supposed to live our whole life hoping we get there. You get there by putting your faith in Jesus. But he died. There's a tree in the garden, and there's a tree in Revelation, and there's a tree on Calvary that Jesus died on. That's the hinge between the two. I mean, Christ died to take away our sin, to remove the curse. If we put our faith in Jesus, we're going to heaven. The question is, how much of heaven are we bringing here right now? How much of the compassion of Jesus, the love of God, are we exhibiting in this world? Not just waiting to get there. Letting heaven peek into our daily life. God, I pray that you would encourage our hearts with what you have planned. More than we know, more than we could comprehend, more than we could understand. But what we know is going to be incredible. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. And while we're looking forward to that end, to that future, help us to be busy bringing heaven to earth right now. To living as if it's a done deal, as if you are present right now, because you are present right now, as if you are making all things new, because you are making all things new, and help us to be a part of that. I pray it in Jesus' name.